We're going to read the same text of Scripture that we've been reading for the last couple of weeks. Last week we looked at the subject of love, and this morning we're going to look at the subject of joy, the subject of Christian joy, Christian joy. So let's ask God to bless the reading of His Word and bless the preaching of His Word before we go any further. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, that we are able to come together and to assemble together. Thank You, Lord, for allowing us to hear Your Word preached, to read Your Word, to be able to understand it. God, we thank You, Lord, for our salvation. We thank You, Lord, for the joy that You give to us. What a blessing it is to be able to say that we have been born again, that we are saved, that we know You. We thank You, God, for it. And it's all because of You, all because of Your grace, all because of Your mercy. We don't deserve any of it. We don't deserve eternal life. Lord, we know what we deserve. I pray that, God, You would help me this morning to say what needs to be said. I pray that everyone would listen with attentive hearts and ears, Lord, and that You would deal with hearts in a way that only You can. And we'll thank You for it. We love You and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll start in verse number 16 again. We'll read down to the end of the chapter. Paul says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Last week we looked, and we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit, and these nine fruits are fruits that the Holy Spirit brings out in the life of every believer. Just like a tree, an orange tree would have oranges hanging off of it, if it indeed is an orange tree, so a Christian will bear a certain kind of fruit if he or she is indeed a Christian. These are nine things that the Apostle Paul talks about here. The first one we looked at last week was love and the kind of Christian love that we ought to have. And we looked at it upside down, all different kinds of ways to find out exactly what Christian love looks like. And this morning we want to look at the subject of Christian joy. Do you have joy in your heart this morning because you are a Christian, because of what you believe? Is that something that pervades your life? And in my life, do you have those joy? Well, there's two things that most likely are not going to produce joy in a person's life. And people mistakenly believe that they will produce joy in a person's life. The first thing is salvation by works. People believe that salvation by works is going to produce some kind of joy in their life. And so they try to be religious. They try to keep the rules and regulations of their particular church, certain traditions, whatever it might be. They think, well, surely that's going to produce some measure of joy in my life. And the Galatians had already been mistaken about this, and this is why Paul the Apostle is writing to them. He's saying, look, religion is not going to produce joy in your life. And they were finding this out the hard way. You can have all the religion that you want. You have all the standards that you want, but if there's not been a change of heart, you're not going to get the joy that you are looking for. You can come to a church service, you can go to a prayer meeting, you can do all of that out of duty, well, because I have to be there. But if you don't have a desire to do it, it's not going to bring joy. You're only coming to church because it's your duty. It's a drudgery. It's a burden for you. Not really any desire there or real joy. So salvation by works does not produce the joy that you are looking for. Other people try to live after the flesh. And they think that sin will actually bring them some measure of joy. They think, well, if I can cast off all restraints, I don't need this mean, ugly God over me telling me what to do, and I don't need to read the Bible and, you know, obey its commandments, and I don't need that. People engage in sin all the time, and they think, well, sin is going to bring me some kind of joy or some kind of happiness. Well, they might for a moment. Might bring a little bit of temporary happiness, but sin is only pleasurable for a season. You're only going to enjoy that for a while. And then after a while, you are going to get a bill in the mail, and you are going to have to pay that bill. You don't get to send it back, return to sender, and say, well, I don't have to mess with that because it's going to take from you. You're going to have to pay that. You're going to get that notification in your inbox one of these days. Think, oh, it's never going to happen to me. I'm never going to have to pay for the things that I'm doing. I can do whatever I want, live however I want to live. I can defy God's commandments all that I want to, and I don't have to pay anything. Man, you're living on borrowed time because it's going to come. Sin is pleasurable for a season, but it doesn't bring true joy, and in the end, sin brings sorrow. It does not bring happiness. But the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ brings joy to believers because it deals with both of these joy killers, sin and legalism. Well, Jesus Christ has fulfilled all the righteous requirements that there is for a person to be saved. There's nothing that you can do in order to merit salvation. I don't care how good that you are or how good you try to be, you cannot merit salvation from the Lord because the Lord Jesus Christ has already kept every requirement that is necessary for someone to be saved, and Jesus Christ has paid our sin debt. And good news, if you're a Christian this morning, you're forgiven. The slate is wiped clean. There's nothing that you can do in order to wipe out one sin in your life. And then after you're forgiven, the Holy Spirit comes into your life and He begins to change your life and bring out righteousness in your life, and you begin to live a different way. And righteousness brings happiness and joy to all. By the power of God, Jesus Christ brings joy and life to all believers. I'd like to say this morning that joy is always a response to the grace of God. I've been studying in the book of Job and Sunday mornings in Sunday school, and we read Job chapter 38 and verse number 7. When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. That's even before any people were around. There you have angels, and they see the great creation that God has made, and they see all the great works that God has done in creation, and they sang for joy because of the grace of God that is manifest as He creates this great creation. If you've got joy in your heart this morning, it is because it is a response to the grace of God that He's given to you. It's always a response to the grace of God. So this morning I want to answer three questions about joy. Where is our joy? What does it do? And how is it complete? Where is our joy? What does it do? And how is it complete? Well, number one, where our joy is as a Christian. Number one, our joy is in the Lord. We must first establish what joy should be, our joy should be in, if we're going to have joy as Christians. I mean, is our joy in our accomplishments? Is our joy in the things that we have done and how we have just been such a great person and that's where our joy is at? No, that's not where it's at. I mean, it's great to set goals, and I would encourage all of you to set goals and work towards those goals and make accomplishments in your life. Please do that. But that is not where our joy is at as Christians. It's not based upon our own accomplishments. It comes to us from an outside source. We have joy this morning because of the accomplishments of another. Someone else has already won the victory for us. And that brings great joy in our hearts. We read about a man who brought great joy to a nation because of his valor and his strength in 1 Samuel chapter number 18. The man's name was David, King David. Now David was a shepherd boy in Israel. He had proved himself to be a true friend, a true companion, a loyal servant, a courageous warrior to King Saul. As a matter of fact, King Saul had set him over his entire army, and all the servants and soldiers of Saul had garnered his respect. They went out to war against the Philistines. David proved himself there to be a great warrior against the Philistines. Won the battle. Arch enemies of Israel. There's David. I doubt if he's very old. Probably in his 20s, maybe something like that. And there he is, a great warrior. And he goes out and he fights with the armies of Saul. And they come back from war. And here comes the women out in the streets. And they are looking as King Saul and David. And they're walking through the streets. And they're saying, look, Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his 10,000s. Boy, they were joyful. There was joy in their hearts because of what David had done on behalf of them. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse number 6, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities, singing, dancing, to meet Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. Well, they're having this great celebration. They're saying, look what Saul or David has done. Well, he's beat our enemies. He's fought and he's won the victory. He faced death. He went against the things that we could not go against. Boy, we're so proud of this man. Joyful. Did you know that you and I also have a great warrior who has faced death? He went into battle against a fierce enemy. Our Lord Jesus Christ went against the devil. He went against death. He went against sin. He went against all of the enemies that you and I faced, and he won the victory, ladies and gentlemen. And you and I are just like people coming back from a battle, and we're saying, look what our great God has done for us. Look what our Savior has done for us. He has won the victory. So a joy comes to us when we realize that we are saved from the wrath of a just God. We find out what God has done for us from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin, and one of these days from the presence of sin. Well, that's a great salvation. So our salvation is accomplished. We rejoice, not in ourselves, but we rejoice in the cross. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians, he says, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified, because the Corinthians were trying to keep up all of these human accolades and all of these human accomplishments to Paul. He's saying, look who baptized me. Look who led me to the Lord. I am Paul. I am of Apollos. I've got all of these accolades. And Paul says, enough of that. We don't need to hear those things. We don't need to hear about your human wisdom and your human intellect. We don't need to hear any of that. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He's our great Savior this morning. We joy in the accomplishments of our Lord Jesus Christ. We rejoice in the atonement that was made for us on our behalf past 2,000 years ago. We look back to the cross and we see how that our Lord faced all of that. And He won. He purchased our salvation for us. We look at that. That's a reason and an occasion to rejoice in our great God. But we don't only rejoice in the past. We have something now in the future which not only produces joy in our hearts, But man, we see that the way that God is changing our lives, the way that God is molding and making us into something that we never thought possible on our own through the Holy Spirit, man, that brings some joy in our hearts. Man, we are so happy and joyful about it. He's purifying our lives daily from sin. We are getting the victory over sin through the power of the Holy Spirit. Man, it brings joy in our hearts. So we have something to joy about in the past. We have something that we are joyful about here in the presence, but salvation's not over. Doesn't matter if you pass this life, salvation is not over, ladies and gentlemen. We have something to joy about in the future. Boy, you know what? We're going to get to shed this old body and we get to see the culmination of our salvation come to fruition one of these days. Whenever we have that brand new glorified body, He's going to change us and make us into something perfect. Boy, a body that can't sin, that can't die, that can't grow old, that will never sin again. It's coming, ladies and gentlemen. It's coming. So our joy is in the accomplishments of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to say with you this morning, as Paul said to the Philippians, he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Boy, this world can be kind of crummy sometimes. Can be kind of rough sometimes. But as the angels announced on the day that Jesus Christ was born, He says, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Where's our joy come from? It comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation appeared that day that Jesus Christ was born. So our joy is in the Lord and what He has done, what He is doing, what He will do. And when we find that our Lord is our joy, you know what happens? What does joy do for us? Our joy strengthens us. Strengthens us. Do you ever feel like your strength is depleted spiritually? Do you feel like, man, you're just down? You're not like you ought to be. Maybe you're spiritually weak at times. Maybe some kind of situation in your life has come. You don't know what to do. Maybe some kind of sin has got a hold of your life. And man, it just, you don't feel the joy that you once had. Our joy comes from the Lord, not from ourselves. And when it does, it is going to strengthen us. It is going to help us to keep going forward whenever that joy remains and our joy is in the Lord. I was reading the other day in Nehemiah chapter number 8, and all the assembly of Israel was gathered together. They were there to hear the word of God, and Ezra was going to read the law to them. They just come out of captivity. They're going to rebuild the city of Jerusalem, going to rebuild the walls. Man, they had been feeling defeated because the enemy had come against them. And there's Ezra. The Bible says that he was standing on a pulpit of wood. And there's the word of God being read and explained before them. And as they heard the word of God being read and explained to them, they began to weep. They began to cry. Because they had found out exactly the sins that they were committing and exactly the reason why that an enemy had come in and taken them into captivity. And there they are. But as they had the word of God read to them and explained to them, the joy of the Lord came to them by learning this, by learning that God is a God who's merciful and gracious and He forgives. And our God is all about restoration. Our God is all about repentance. And as they read and they heard that, you know what Ezra said to them? He said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. Hey, eat the fat sounds pretty good. You going to eat the fat after church this morning? Maybe have some pork ribs? That ain't nothing but fat. He's saying, yeah, go and celebrate. Eat the fat, drink the sweet. Well, that sounds pretty good too. And he says, hey, while you're at it, why don't you go ahead and make something for somebody else who doesn't have anything? That's what he tells them. He says, for this day is a holy day unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.
He says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Hey, guess what? There is still time for restoration. There is still time for repentance. And look, you're going to rebuild the wall. You're going to rebuild the city. It's all right. Yeah, you messed up. But hey, repent, get right, and keep on going. Don't stay down in the dumps. Don't stay defeated. Hey, get up and keep on going. Our God's a God of mercy. And we receive joy from the Lord when we hear the Word of God preached to us and we have it explained to us and we understand the mercy and grace of our great God. Yeah, we hear about how we've sinned. We hear about how we've done things wrong, how we've fallen short with the Lord, how we've done all this. But let me encourage you here this morning not to quit because you failed one time. Keep on getting up and keep on going. God doesn't want you to stop. God doesn't want you to quit. He wants you to keep on going forward in the Christian life. That's why His mercy is abundant. That's why His grace is abundant. He doesn't want you to stop. Yeah, we're going to fail, but hey, keep on going. And we can be joyful in that. Yeah, we can keep on going. That's why we come to church. And then when our relationship with the Lord is strong, we can be strong as well. Because if your relationship is not strong with God, you're not going to keep going. You're going to quit. You get the devil into your mind saying, man, look where you failed. Look what you did. You're not good enough to be a Christian. You're not good enough to be a child of God. Might as well go ahead and quit. As a matter of fact, that's what the devil said to Job. Through his wife. Go ahead and curse God and die. Quit. And people quit. And don't quit this morning. Your relationship can be strong with God and you can have joy. It says in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse number 22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Man, when people are joyful and people are happy in the Lord, boy, they keep on going. And if you got a burden here this morning, cast it upon the Lord. Give it to God. Don't let your situations bring you down. Don't let it weaken you or stop you from having joy in the Lord. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. We got a great God. We can keep on going. You say, but yeah, there's bad situations that are in my life right now. And are coming in my life. Yeah, that's for everyone. You think about, man, we could say over and over and over again about people in the Word of God. Boy, and they got into some dire situations. Think about Joseph. Man, falsely accused, got thrown into prison. His brothers hated him. All of this. And you know what Joseph did? He chose joy instead. He said, I will be happy in the Lord. I will be joyful in the Lord. He didn't choose anger. He didn't choose resentment. Say, well, that's it. Might as well just quit because these things are happening in my life. No, he went ahead and he went forward. Kept going. James says in James 1:2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. We don't really think that way, though, do we? And something bad comes in our life. Well, what's this all about? Why is this thing happening? Did you know that no growth ever happens in a vacuum when nothing's happening? Growth always happens when there's friction. You're not going to grow big muscles unless you start lifting weights and start going through some pain. It's not going to happen. Man, those burdens and those trials in our life and those tests in our life, they're there for a reason. They're there to strengthen us. And we just need to keep our joy in the Lord and keep right on going because God is there with us. He's there to forgive us. We want to be strong in the Lord, and this morning a strong Christian in the Lord is an obedient Christian. It's an obedient Christian. Hey, we want our joy to grow. We want our joy. We want to be mature Christians. We have to be an obedient Christian in the Lord. We are strong in the Lord when we are obedient to His Word, and then our joy is full. Full. It says in 1 John chapter 1. Verse number 4, it says, and these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Now, among many reasons, that was one of the reasons that John wrote 1 John. is that so Christians' joy can be full. You know what full means? Full means to maximum capacity, reaching its full potential, reaching its limits or its boundaries. Is your joy full in the Lord here this morning? Is it full? Maximum capacity. Do you know, I think a lot of Christians walk around and they have not reached the maximum capacity of joy that they could have in the Lord. They walk around doubting their salvation. They walk around and their joy is lacking. You know why? Because of the way they live their lives. Because they are disobedient to the Word of God. And you cannot be joyful and secure in your relationship with the Lord if you are continually disobedient to the Lord. It doesn't happen. Why? Because that's inconsistent. That's untruthful. That's dishonest. And no one's going to have full maximum capacity of joy in the Lord while rebelling against God. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. You might say, well, yeah, but everyone sins and everyone, no one can live a perfect life, as we just talked about. Yes, that's true. That's true. But you know what Christians can, should, and must do? They must repent. They must confess their sins. They must lay everything out before God and show it to Him, not hiding anything from Him. We must be sorry for our sins. Because it is an offense against God. Not because you got caught or I got caught. Not because, well, the negative consequences of sin and therefore I'm sorry. No, we are sorry for our sins because it is an offense against a holy, righteous, and just God. That's the reason that you need to be sorry and I need to be sorry for our sins. Because we have offended God. And sin is an offense to Him. And our joy is not going to be full if we are not obedient to Him. We think about David. He was disobedient and he sinned against the Lord. You know what happened to David? He committed adultery. He committed murder. Sins that carry the death penalty. He did all of these things. And he prayed to God in Psalm chapter number 51. And he says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Boy, he lost his joy. He didn't have it anymore. He says, "Uphold me by thy free spirit." He had done these things, and here comes the prophet Nathan and exposes his sin and confronts his sin. And what was his reaction because of his sin? Was it indifference? Was it rebellion? Was it making excuses? Did he form a pride parade and go down downtown Jerusalem and have pride about his sin? Is that what he did? Did he try to manufacture up some kind of fake joy and pretend that it wasn't sin and I'm okay? No, he didn't do that. Some people do that today. And that's an abomination. No, what he did, there was a brokenness about his sin. There was a petition for mercy from the Lord. There was admission of guilt, a request for cleansing, confession, and forsaking of sin. That's what David did. Whenever he had sinned against the Lord. And it had been exposed. If you and I want to have our joy full and complete, you know what we must do? Confess and forsake your sin. And give it to the Lord. You read all the way through the book of 1 John. He says, don't love the world. Love the brethren. Your joy is not going to be full if you do that. Not going to have the joy that you ought to. Love, ladies and gentlemen, is the defining characteristic of a Christian. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. You know why some Christians don't have the joy that they ought to have? Because they're walking around carrying a grudge. They're carrying some kind of resentment or something against somebody else, and they're not going to forgive anybody. And their joy is not full. You ever met somebody like that? Boy, they just don't love people. They don't have any joy in their hearts. Does that make you want to be around those people? Not really. Not really. Why? There's no joy there. There's no happiness there. That's not a characteristic of a Christian. So you cannot sin against God without repentance and go on in that sin and then retain your joy in the Lord. It's an impossibility. We want to have our joy complete and full. And there must be a change of heart, ladies and gentlemen, and there must be a change of action. Because if you have a change of heart, there will be a change of action. There must be repentance. True joy comes from the Lord. That's where it comes from. True joy then strengthens us as believers, and then our joy is full whenever we obey the Lord. And then when we have that joy in the Lord, that true joy is going to spill over into other people's lives, and you're going to start affecting other people. It's going to start affecting your relationships, the people that you know, people that you come in contact with. Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Rome, and he said these words in Romans chapter 15, verse number 13. He says, "Now the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Now, in the context of that verse was this. The hope was being able to get along with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. That was the hope. Because let's face it, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes relationships can get kind of hopeless, can't they? But Paul the Apostle says, hey, look, you can have joy and you can have hope in your relationships through believing. And it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. Power of the Holy Spirit. Does your joy in the Holy Spirit spill over and affect the lives of others? You lacking in your joy this morning? If it is lacking or it doesn't affect other people, you know what you need to do? Believe. Remember the gospel. Remember the gospel, because our joy comes from the Lord. Remember that. Our joy comes from the Lord. What He has done for us and in us, our joy is in the Lord because of who we are in Christ. Because we are accepted in Christ. Because we have been forgiven. Because we are the recipients of the grace of God. Supernatural joy comes, and then it affects other people. So let us joy in the Lord. Let us be strong in the Lord. Let us obey the Lord. Let us have fullness of joy. And if you don't have that joy, I'd call you to repentance this morning. And look to the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. And let the joy of the Lord be your strength. I don't know if everyone here is saved today or not. I don't know if everyone here has claimed Jesus Christ as their Savior. But if you have not received the Lord as your Savior, I'd encourage you today to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ because of what He has done for you on the cross and because of who He is. He died for your sins on the cross. Amen. And those sins can be paid for. He is the Lord of glory. He is the God of heaven. And one day we will all stand before Him and have to give an account of Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today. Let's pray.